Work has changed. It's more remote, more visual, more meetingful. So it's about time we change the way we present too. With Canva, you'll actually enjoy presentations. Start inspired with thousands of free templates and an endless content library. Invite your team to collaborate with ease from anywhere. Whether it's remote, recorded, or in real life, you'll always present your best. Enjoy presentations for free at canva.com.
Vaughan's 4-7 thing. Radio X.
Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4-7 thing podcast. There's then a dot, 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 and it says in brackets, intro team. So, ladies and gentlemen, meet the team.
Hi.
I'm Gavin. I'm a Virgo.
Sunter.
Hi, I'm Sunter. Aquarius.
Little Si.
I'm Simon. Little Si. I'm Gemini.
You're the only person who did it, and I can actually imagine already hating you on University Challenge. It'd be good if they did that on University Challenge, yeah. Rather than saying what they're reading.
Give you star signs.
Yeah, I always expect. Yeah. Also, I'd quite like someone to say actually literally what they're reading.
Right, yeah, literally.
Always go to University of Warwick, reading science and whatever, reading biochemistry.
Yeah,
yeah, and they actually sort of go reading Dan Brown.
That's right, yeah.
Angels and Demons. Reading memes every day on my device.
Reading social media, mostly.
Yes, but also, this week, are you terrified of sharks and alligators, but you love a chicken? Great news. I've got the triple threat that's the best darn radio yet. That's right. I've got another edition of Alligator Shark Chicken. Is that working for you as an item since? I was worried that when a lot's changed since you've been away.
It's my favourite.
It's only my favorite thing ever.
My favorite.
Okay.
Did you believe that?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Plus, we've got news from across the cold curtain as Welsh language campaigners take it up a reech. That's Welsh for notch.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. And the woodman has a crazily inventive tailor pulling the ripcord and crying tally-ho in his right little slot. Enjoy.
Radio X.
I've just had norovirus since. I've been laid low.
Sure.
Hit me Saturday night. No, that's not a sure situation. That's a real situation. All right,
sure. I'd like to bring to the table that you went out for fish on Friday night.
Seafood. No, it was nothing to do with that.
Seafood
no,
because Friday night.
No, because if it was a road prone... You literally know the one. You say, you know what? And I remember exactly what. No, this was
really.
This wasn't nice.
Did you have the mussels, sir?
Yeah. And I just felt.
Squid did you eat?
I didn't eat any squid. I just felt awful. Right. It kicked
did
in.
Saturday,
no, it kicked in Saturday night.
Right.
So it's the next night.
Yeah.
I just suddenly started feeling really bad. Anyway.
Yeah.
It meant I was at the mercy in between feeling ill, so I couldn't really follow films of the BBC Olympic coverage.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen such a bad Olympics or bad coverage in my life.
It's heavily cherry-picked, isn't it? They've only got the rights to about a million from it.
Oh, is that what the problem is?
They can only show like two things at a time, if that makes sense. They've only got
because
like,
Claire Balling is just trying to turn it into the lamest lifestyle show ever. No, so that, you know that thing I hate about the X Factor? Like, I know they've got a terrible voice, but you know they've got ever such an unhappy home life. but I'm going to vote for them because it's literally the childhood was miserable.
The backstory alone, yeah.
That makes their voice that much better. I don't want a backstory. I just want what they're doing out there
be brilliant, yeah.
Out there. I don't need to know.
They are being pretty brilliant.
I know, yeah, but yeah. I know.
It's doing really well.
I know, but you wouldn't know it in the coverage.
Right.
Which is just sort of bleeding. It's like... It's amazing. I mean, just being here at all is amazing after what she's gone through. I think it's not the X Factor, they're athletes. I tell you, she's been through a hell of a lot of training and mostly lots of lottery-funded stuff.
Yes.
She's sacrificed nothing. Mm. It's a full-time... What you're seeing here, it's a full-time job.
Well, unless you're talking about the BMX, then
which
that was
wasn't
not
that, and that shouldn't be a full-time job because it's just children. Anyone over... It should be limited to 14. Anyone over a certain age doing that is just ridiculous. They're just full. They just look like they've taken over a playground. And actually, why don't you let the little kids play rather than you lot bullying everybody?
I love all these ones. Have you seen the speed the speed rock climbing? That was on today.
Ridiculous.
It's brilliant. It takes five seconds.
Are they all dressed as Spider-Man?
That's just pointless.
They're like
pointless.
Spider-Man.
That's just
it's
pointless.
Amazing.
No, but they're all so good about it. There's no perspective. And also, I haven't had a go at that. I'm probably faster.
Wall sprinting.
No, just honestly, just in a weird way, used to remind me of my ex when she was cross. Literally, climbing the walls. But you know, I just say this.
Without the safety wire.
The BMX. Yeah. This is how crap it is, right? Is they're so British heavy these days, because we're so successful, what the Olympics misses is I want to see really good athletes. And it's, I'm not there as some sort of crazy patriot. I want to see the best. So, in the BMX, I didn't get to see the amazing Australian who won it.
Right. Mm.
I got to see the British guy who just got a prize.
Oh, they only show the British coverage.
Yeah, they just showed that. They didn't show this guy. Christ knows what he was doing, but this in the flash, it was amazing. And then they had an hour of BMX, and then an hour of something like that. And then suddenly, they say, oh, there was another race, say, men's 100 metres. I'm thinking, what, the biggest event of the whole Olympics?
Yeah, here we go.
Won by an Italian. I'm thinking, that's got to be a headline.
Surely.
They didn't even mention it.
What?
Nothing. An Italian called Jacobs.
What? That's right. Even more amazing.
Nothing. No, nothing at all. Because they wanted to get back to something happening in the cycling, where there's an event or something that I saw today, which is just random. What happens is three people are over one side of the track, or four of them, and their bikes are in these sort of machines that let them go.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's the team sprint challenge.
Yes.
Right.
And then they're released. Everyone goes crazy.
Yeah.
And then everyone just acknowledges someone's won and they just give up. And that's really it. And that's it.
Well, they used to have dueling at the Olympics, and I think we should bring it back.
1908
yeah.
They had that.
Yeah,
I know. It'd be a great event, that. Yeah. A great event. Anyway, everyone's forgotten with us being so successful. When I was a kid, remember, we only won one gold. That was Mary Peters in the long jump. Do you think it would have sustained if we just watched her for 2 weeks? No, I say. Let's watch the very best rather than just the British. Radio X. All I'm trying to say to you is it's exactly the same. And if you just both let me speak for a change.
Okay, go on.
No, this is exactly... Sorry, we're just talking about Olympic coverage, Olympic stuff generally.
Sure.
And what they're reviewing. Mm. I mean, for a start, yes, Sunti, you've got a valid point. The BBC's got so many staff... Mm. That they've got enough people not only to cover the few events they've got, which is like two a day, they can also, they're going to interview their grannies.
Yes, and right. The person that person lived next to when they were seven, when they first got on a
but
bike.
Just what I'm saying is, this is exactly why the All England Club tennis and croquet, lawn tennis and croquet, are so right in the way they hate good English tennis players or British tennis players.
Right.
Because it's just unfair. It starts to take over the tournament.
The whole
patriotism.
Thing, yeah, yeah.
Started with Henman, then Murray. Mm. When, actually, when I was a kid, we used to grow up literally supporting someone from, you know, like Yugoslavia.
Who was the best? You want to see who the best is.
An American tennis player. We just didn't care. We actually supported people. Now, the Olympics, you're bound to have a little bit more kind of flag waving. But come on. You can't just think this is the most important thing on earth because there's a British person involved,
right.
and ignore something extraordinary like the double gold in the high jump,
right?
Which was just
that was amazing,
right?
That was amazing.
And yet they said, "Well,
that was so cool."
Yet, all we got as we came out of it was, well, probably because they're good friends, right?
Oh,
and then,
what?
Meanwhile, there was a lot happening, and we were meant to think. Listen, the guy who won it in the pommel horse, yeah, that's not a night's entertainment.
Poor old Max.
No, it's not. It's like breakdancing on a bench.
Oh, and yeah. Then,
do it on a live horse.
Do it on a live horse. You want to impress me? Yeah, you want to impress me.
Or a tiger.
Or a bucking bronco.
Yeah. Oh, bucking bronco at the Olympics.
Now you're talking to me. But I'm just saying, it's not a big event, is it? It's a sideshow. Radio X. Johnny Vaughan. Three quick stories for you. Ready?
Go on.
One. Okay, is there such a fine line sometimes between a gun collection and actually arms proliferation?
Okay, go on.
Here's an example. For me, it's very rare you hear me say this, but it's right this guy got jailed.
Okay.
This is exactly how the Nazis...
What, he had a gun room,
No, this is exactly how the Germans rearmed between wars.
Okay,
let's drop the N-word there. Okay, you ready for this? A court in the city of Kiel yesterday convicted a man, 84, about the right age, of illegally possessing a Panzer tank...
What?
Flak cannon and Second War military equipment.
An anti-aircraft gun.
Yes, he had an anti-aircraft gun.
And you can't say, keep that
trying to have a look
thing?
At my gun collection...
That's a lot.
That's a cannon.
He had a tank. I can't believe you're picking it. The tank also comes with a cannon. No, but not just that. A Panzer.
That's insane.
They were found in a raid on a storage unit. There we go. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Next up for you.
Go on.
Gav,
What
are the rules with bears?
If it's black, fight back.
Yeah.
If it's brown, lie down. If it's white, good night.
Okay, that's polar bears. Okay, get this. For this 26-year-old woman, I'm afraid, in Alberta, Canada, I'm afraid strategy one there for black bears. It obviously didn't work for her.
Didn't work, no.
She was working for a helicopter firm that was transporting tree planters attacked by a black bear.
Right.
Witnesses scared the bear off, allowing the victim's colleagues to carry her to the helicopter. But unfortunately, paramedics there found her severely. A lot of little bits there.
Canada for you.
Yeah, Canada. It's a cruel country.
It's a vicious place.
Oh, it's a vicious place, yeah.
God.
Yeah, not a lot there the colleagues could do, apparently.
What? Go on.
And lastly, let's go north of the bamboo curtain where Kim Jong-un...
What's he up Jong-un,
to? Well, he's going to end sanctions.
Right.
He's pressing for the end of sanctions just on luxury goods.
Oh, handy.
What's he run out of?
Yeah.
He likes luxury goods.
Because, Gav... Yeah. They've run out of luxury goods.
Oh, really?
And he needs them because they're only really for him and his colleague. And he suddenly realised by having an embargo on luxury goods,
he can't
get
them.
He's literally only affecting the people at the top of his party.
That's
true. Now getting cheesed off. Yeah. Apparently, they've run out of cognac, designer suits. Well, you don't see him wearing designer suits.
No, you don't. Yeah.
He looks like he's wearing stuff that's, run up by sort of a local tailor in a certain style.
Yeah.
The Kim Jong-un suit.
Yeah, right.
With that particular shape of trouser.
It's got a very wide trouser.
Only favoured by him and Trump.
That's right.
Trump, I mean, that's the one thing him and Trump must have looked like.
Got the same tailor.
When they spoke to each other, they go, hey, I wear those trousers.
Big trousers, nice move,
nice
Kim.
Ratings, trousers. Anyway, this comes amid heightened speculation surrounding Kim's health after pictures emerged from him taken last week showing a dark spot on the back of his shaved head, which was subsequently covered with a plaster. What the heck is going on? A dark spot?
What?
What?
Cognac.
Yeah, cognac. Designer suit.
Sounds so luxury, John.
I don't know. It's a
Bentleys and cognac.
No, but it's luxury goods such as cognac and designer suits. Anyway, in a briefing to South Korean members of parliament, Park Ji-won, the head of the country's National Intelligence Service, said that North Korea had proposed a relaxation of sanctions as a condition of restarting diplomatic negotiations.
Just for a couple of weeks, maybe. Yeah.
Also, they're saying in exchange for them being allowed to export minerals.
Right.
In exchange for minerals, they want high-class liqueurs and suits.
And Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, but it's pretty obvious who's going to benefit and where it's all going.
Yeah, those minerals are going to be worth a fortune.
They say they can carry on. They'll now buy North Korean coal, oil, refined oil.
Yeah.
But... Ha Tae-kyung, a member of the Parliamentary Intelligence Committee, said, I asked which necessities they wanted most.
Yeah.
And they said high-caste liqueurs and suits. And they're not for general release. They will be intended, it said in the thing, for Kim Jong-un's own consumption.
Wow.
There we go. Good lad. X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio. X.
Dan O'Connell changes as soon as he leaves the studio and he hangs out with the younger crew down at Capitol, down the corridor. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Like I said, I heard him talking about, I don't know what singer it was, Anne Marie or something.
Right, right.
How her voice is just too high in the mix. Right. I'm thinking, what earth is he talking about? That's because Dan O'Connell...
Dan O'Connell...
Okay, nice one with Kenny. Yeah, not that bit. He changes. I change, and I'm going to be honest with you. I change around the gym, around P45. I'm meaner, crueler, focuseder. I'm not nice down there. I'm really not. I don't want you. It's almost like a sort of
werewolf kind of thing going on.
It's a werewolf deal,
right?
Wow. Like psycho killers.
Yeah,
don't know what's going on in their police interviews. They literally say it was a blur. Right. That's why I'm around when I'm starting to get some gains on.
Sure. Oh my god,
I'm starting to pump. Yeah.
So you don't remember any of the
really
lifting?
No.
Right.
I just
not
come
a nice
out.
Person. In
no. People describe me as a right bath.
Wow.
Yeah, they say you get in there and you're a bath.
Sure.
A bath.
Sure.
And I go, what can I do? It's gains. I'm a gainsman.
Mm.
Since where do you change?
I change around a free bar.
Okay, that's the is the X changes round Y factor.
Yep. Right, yep.
I get very serious.
The smile disappears,
It's like a laser focus.
It really is.
Do you know what? I've seen you do that at gigs as well, when you quite enjoying the band, but now you go, what drink do you want? And you're just thinking, what? You go, I'm going now to the bar. Because you know that that's a 7-minute track you've got and you've timed that exactly.
Yeah, it's a military mission, yeah.
Because you've checked the set list, you know what's coming next.
Yep.
You don't mind missing that filler track.
Yep. You don't need a loo break at that time.
Other people don't know that, so there won't be a queue when I
get
there.
Right. You've already recce'd which of the bar staff are quickest.
Yeah. Actually, but this is becoming actually not too far from what you are, is it? No, I'm just saying it's not so far, is it? Quite manipulative of situation. Gav, where do you
think? Change in front of Jimmy Page.
Yes.
We walked up to him. I didn't even know who we were saying hello to because he had his back to us.
Yes.
So all it was a shock of long white ponytail.
Yeah.
As soon as he turned round and I was shaking his hand, I realised it was him. So I became a grinning idiot.
I thought you did, Gav. You
changed.
You
showed some, I changed.
Okay. Well,
I
really did. Kenny's not going to be able to do it. Stop. That's it. He's just on the change. That's it. Normally, Little Simon messes that up. It's nice that we've got someone in. Did he train you? Here we go. Hi, TJ. I change when I'm around Londoners. I become even more Mancunian to the point even Liam Gallagher would be embarrassed, says Rick. Basically, Rick...
he changes.
Oh. Rick. We'll just sing it, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Dele Alli changes when he's around a ball. He forgets how to kick it, says Plymouth Tim. That's good. That was good. That was good. That was really good. To be fair, he had 2 minutes to get this together.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gav, you do one here.
A bloke years ago in our local in Wandsworth was born in Scotland but brought up in London from 3 years old. He speaks with a Cockney accent until he hears another Scottish voice and his accent changes to full Glaswegian.
He was
known round here as Rab C. Garnet by everyone. That's from John in Shepparton.
Dr. Sunder Templeton. He changes. Get in there, Kenny.
Go on, Kenny.
Jim in Stalybridge says, yo, Teach, I change from mild-mannered professional guy about town to a molten love god whenever I'm around the ladies.
How about that?
Which he spells L-A-Y-G-E-E-Z.
Wait, she hasn't finished yet.
With just a flex of my pecs.
That's better.
Man.
And then he goes, peace, Jim in Stalybridge, which is very un-Jim. That's because he's shown some... No, that's the other bit.
He's turn and face the string. Okay.
It turns out we Kenny changes round that thing's called.
A lot of pressure.
Dr. Sunder Templeton.
Okay, hi, Teach. My younger supervisor changes his approach to me when he's around customers.
Yeah.
He becomes more distant and almost like I'm a stranger. Okay. The other day, I walked back to the work van where he and a customer were talking and he turned to me and said, what are you looking for, mate? Nothing, as it appears. I'm just doing my job. Idiot. That's from Ollie.
Ollie changes. Ollie,
God, sorry,
Ollie's supervisors. Ollie's supervisor changes. He's got a younger supervisor.
That must be so...
I suppose we have a Little Simon today.
We have. Don't remind us.
Sorry, but he's a sort of supervisor.
He's kind of, yeah.
Go on, what you got, Gav?
I changed from the most pleasant, patient and lovable guy on earth to a savage beast resembling the Incredible Hulk when I hear a noisy eater.
Wow.
That's Dave the Rage. He says the rage cannot be contained. Just the thought of those smacking lips. Yeah.
That is Dave the Rave to Dave the Rage.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
My granny used to go mad about it.
Did she?
Yeah. She used to slap the back of her head and go, lips!
Did she?
Lips!
My God.
Terrifying.
She'd go mad. Also, wow. Slumped at the table, she'd go down, she'd get a thumb like that and run it right up your spine really fast.
Wow.
Straight lips!
Was she the one shouting on that Pink Floyd record that time?
Yes, yes. How do you know that was a Scottish person?
You're Putin!
Yeah. You're Putin if you don't have your meat! Change. Hey, Teej, I'm not alone in this. I know I'm not alone in this, but whenever a tradesman, builder, sparky, plumber, etc., comes out of the house to quote, I changed from middle-class office worker to a bit of a geezer from the pub with a slight cockley accent. I think that's what we should call that accent from now. It's a bit cockley.
Yeah.
All right. Mate, could you stop here? Mate, I love using phrases like dot and dab. I just feel like one of them. That's Dan in Potter said, Dan...
This one's from Chris in Kettering. Yo, Teach, my dad changes from mild-mannered co-op financial account manager to an RAF pilot from the Second World War, going on about the AK-AK guns and missions he did.
Nice.
He only did 2 years national service at a radar station, but he goes on like he's the Red Baron.
I love that. He goes on like he's the Red Baron.
That's my favourite.
That's from Chris from Kettering. Yeah. Kiss. My dad, I don't know what it is, when he's talking sailing, yeah. And a mate of mine does this as well.
What?
He goes slightly transatlantic.
Does he get a little nautical?
And I've seen these guys coming through on the leeward side. And I'm thinking, Dad, it's a little dinghy on a reservoir.
Yeah.
He's going, but you know, the swell, and we're just reading how the wind's coming in. I'm like, Dad, for Christ's sake. Anyway, hi, it's James from Horsham. I change around really attractive women. I have no clue why, but I become a gibbering wreck. Thank you, Jim, obviously. And this is interesting. It's about you, this one, Sunter. Yeah. This is Alex in Chester. Dr. Sunter changes when doing the news. If only she'd giggle a bit when giving out news. Can't do that. She's too professional for that. Yeah, that's one thing that never changes. No professionalism. Yeah. Thank you so much for all your changes that have come in. They were wonderful, weren't they?
Brilliant.
And I hope Dan O'Connell's still listening. I noticed he's laughing with the guys down at Capital, and then he moved away when he got a bit
got a little close
to the bone. Buying a car can be confusing and complicated. And how can you be confident you're making the right decision at every step of that journey? Well, Motorpoint make it really easy to buy a nearly new car. They offer friendly expert advice at every stage with no pushy sales. You can shop online or in store, and there's no need to haggle, as the price you see is the price you pay, no matter who you are. No special discount for me then. You can even drive away your car the same day. And with Motorpoint's price promise, if you find the same car for less, they'll refund the difference and give you a £50 Amazon voucher too. That's how confident they are. And that's not all. You've also got 2 weeks to make sure you love it with their 14-day money-back guarantee. So if you change your mind, you get your money back. Get straight to unbeatable prices. Get straight to motorpoint.co.uk.
Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
I really did up this time. Deny my dear. Deny my dear.
Probably, if you're writing songs like that. I would think so. If it's anything like My Life and the letters I haven't sent that I've written, or some of the sort of stuff you've written late at nine after a couple of drinks, then I would think, judging by the general tone, yes, Marcus, you're probably...
Very passive aggressive too, calling them my dear.
No, not in the West Country.
Oh, right.
I've messed it up, haven't I, my dear? It looks like you have, my dear. Oh, don't worry about it.
Don't you? Oh, that's really passive aggressive.
Don't worry about it. That woman, sorry, I'm not going to talk about that woman.
No, don't. I know it gets you cross.
Also obsesses listeners, because I thought of another detail.
Oh, yeah.
About what was really irking customers. All right, I'll do it, then I'll tell you.
Go on.
So here's the deal. I stayed at this bed and breakfast in Plymouth, run by this woman who had this effect of turning everyone in there into psychopaths. And it wasn't because of the erotic art her brother-in-law had done in every bedroom wall.
Okay,
she says, it just means we don't need naughty videos, doesn't it? I was like, what? It's giving me nightmares. She goes, I bet it has. And all the good kind. I said, there's no good kind of nightmare.
Oh, are you talking about?
Yeah. And then she winked at me like, oh yeah. No, and that was her style. Oh, right. And then I've gone, no, they didn't. They gave me nightmares. She goes, oh, don't worry about it. Anyway, this woman. Now I'm into it. I'm going to have to delay talking about your text.
Well, you needed to know a train timetable and you needed to know the numbers involved.
The aggression started.
Yeah.
And I just remember this detail because we arrived there.
Yeah.
We want to go straight to the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, just leave the cases there. They'll be fine. And there was loads of sort of weird people coming in to use the bar.
Right.
And we were like, well, how do we know they're not going to just...
Yeah.
I mean, there's people...
You don't know these people, yeah.
Just going, oh, don't worry about it. They'll be fine. They're just... I go, well, no, we're not. This is all the gear and camera stuff.
This is our stuff, yeah.
Just, oh, don't worry about it. They've seen that sort of thing before. Like, well, we don't know that. And they really look like a lot of them look like old sailors. Oh, don't worry about it. Then... But the next day, she's pulling exactly the same thing with this bloke. He says, excuse me, can I literally, we're checking out today. We're just going to have a little look around the town.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere safe she can put the case? He goes, just leave them there. It'll be fine. And it's right in front of the counter, right where people walk in.
Right.
And he goes, well, is there not like a safe place you lock them? And she goes, oh, Des will take care of them a bit later, but just don't worry about
it.
Just you go and enjoy the town. And he was
well,
going,
I can't now.
I can't enjoy the time because I'm worried about my cases. They're right by the door. He's going, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, keep an eye on it. Anyway, he went and had his breakfast, yeah?
Yeah.
When he came back, the suitcases were just on their own there.
Right, yeah, yeah. No one taking care of them.
No.
No.
Nothing.
Just there.
Yes.
Like a buffet.
Yes. No, I only know that because that's the bit of the row I caught when I came out of breakfast.
Right.
Because, look, you haven't been here, yeah, and their cases have.
Oh, man.
They could have just... She goes, oh, don't worry about it. Anyway, it's at that point, because I was starting to find this woman vaguely amusing.
Right, yeah.
Her antics there. Because I'd seen, literally... She was 4-4 in terms of people. She really wound up at this counter.
All with the don't worry about it, yeah.
Oh, don't worry about it. She was just bustling around all fresh and sort of smelling all fresh with like a, one of them belted blouses on.
Right.
You know, you could see a sort of lacy bra underneath. Oh, don't worry about it. And just bustling about generally. And this bloke said, yeah, excuse me, we just want some train times because we want a delayed train.
To plan his journey.
We,
yeah,
we want to plan the journey. We need to know what time we're going to have to get a cab here to get to the station so we can get the next one onto Exeter. We go, oh, don't worry about it. He goes, what do you mean, don't worry about it? I guess I'm just asking how long it takes. He goes, oh, there's plenty of time for trains.
You get, yes, but which one?
He says, which one and how long does it take by cab? And how long is it going to take a cab to get here? She goes, don't worry about it. There's always a cab about. There's always a train about. He goes, no, I do worry. There's only one train.
Radio X.
Gav, you got a hero?
I do.
Let's have it. Every single day of the week, the Woodman furnished with a hero. Today, absolutely no exception.
So the hero today, Johnny, is a man called Francois Reichelt. He was born in 1878.
I like him already.
And he lived till 1912.
Good man.
He was nicknamed the Flying Tailor. He was born... he was born...
the Flying...
wait, all will become apparent.
The Flying Tailor. Things you don't need in emergency,
yeah,
right?
He was born in Austria. He was a French tailor, inventor, and parachuting pioneer. He was born in Vegstadl, then in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. He moved to Paris in 1898, where he opened and ran a successful dressmaking business. From 1910, he started developing what he called a parachute suit. It was not much more bulky than a normal aviator's suit. I would argue with that slightly when you see the photo. It's a little bulky.
It doesn't matter, you can't argue with the Flying Tailor.
But with the addition of a few rods, a silk canopy, and a small amount of rubber that allowed it to fold out to a practical, efficient parachute. So he tested his designs on dummies that he was dropping from the fifth floor of a building. And the tests were successful until he tried to combine the canopy into a wearable suit. The tests with the dummies wearing the ever-modified and improved suits were not so good. But Reichelt blamed the short drop distance and decided he wanted to test the suit from the Eiffel Tower on himself.
Nice!
So he did. And, yeah, it didn't end well.
I bet it didn't.
It didn't work out at all. In fact, he died. So the rumours are... Well, here's a picture
of
him.
Sorry, Gav. Oh, no, if you've got a story that tragic, there's only one way to... Okay.
Here's a picture of him. Check out that suit. That's him on the day he jumped off the tower. The rumours were that he pretended to authorities who'd given permission for this test that he was going to use a dummy, and his friends were begging him to use a dummy, but he was determined. A local reporter
asked... It's a bit like those squirrel suits people use. Is it squirrel suits?
It does look like an early version of one
of
those.
Yeah, but too early.
Yeah, and quite like the heavy cloth involved in the suit.
So early... He was late.
Absolutely right.
Do you see what I've just done with wordplay?
Actually, Johnny, he wasn't that early.
Don't just go on, clap.
He wasn't that early. In 1910, the very first patent for a packable parachute was from a man called Geb Kotelnikov.
Don't tell me, a flying shepherd.
A Soviet inventor. They worked. And in fact, his parachutes were used in World War I by Soviet pilots.
Really?
It's an amazing story.
Soviet.
He will be one of the heroes. I'm going to check him out as well.
He was so early... He was late.
That's correct.
Come on, man.
A local reporter asked about it at the time in Le Monde. Was asked what he thought about it, and he said,
"You're gonna get that.
You're gonna get that." But he said that in French, obviously.
People, yeah, he said
in 19.
If he'd been German,
yeah. Francois Reichelt.
Francois.
Brave. And inventive.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Johnny, everyone, I thought to yourself, I think, absolutely. Splat.
Not a good suit.
Splat, not a good suit. I'm just thinking of other things, you know, a flying accountant, the flying lawyer, things you don't need in a hurry, right?
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
I was talking about Wales earlier. How the Welsh have, they've really taken it up a rech.
Right.
That's a notch in Welsh, but I bet I've used it wrongly.
I'm sure you
doesn't
have,
matter how much you try, Even if you say to a Welsh person, bora da, they'll look at their watch. And even if you said it at 11, that's not right.
Right.
Well, after
right.
11, really, in Wales, it's not after. Because really we get up late. So early, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because miners are up at like 4. 5, yeah, yeah. 4, see? So that's now evening, see? After 11 in the morning is evening for us in Wales. It works hard, isn't it? Anyway, get this. This is what I love about the Welsh, yeah? This is why they're the people for me. Not only because if you go to Cardiff, you're going to have one of the best nights out of your life.
Oh, it's just amazing.
And you can take that to the bank.
It really is.
They really
loved it.
Boy, do those lads get on it.
Yeah.
And lads, I mean, they really do.
Yeah.
You've just gone back into a memory, haven't you?
I really have. No,
I
just
have as well.
A really good time when really I was a roadie good. For a band very briefly. As right. soon as Cardiff came up,
wow.
I was like, yeah, yeah. I was the
That's new information.
Yeah, well, you know. I had to. In the end, I wasn't allowed to do it anymore after two after two gigs. No, do you know why? They said my methods were unsound. Which is curiously exactly the same reason I was kicked out of the Scouts when I was nine. That's exactly what Bagheera said.
Mm,
they said that on a note to my parents, we have to. It's political.
Yeah.
They said, unfortunately, little Teej is going to have to leave the Scouts. His methods are unsound.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was like Apocalypse Now with me in there.
Right,
it really was.
Right.
I went rogue in Hadley Wood.
Did they have to go and find you?
Into a river.
Yeah, I did. I started using locals
for like my own
purpose.
Yeah.
They lost me. It was exactly like that. Exactly like that. The horror is what Bagheera said when she
did
found my camp.
Did they slaughter any buffalo
Goats.
In the process?
Right, here we go, Gav. Get this.
Go on.
So Welsh language campaigners have complained. You know why?
Why?
Because they've granted World Heritage status to the slate landscape of North Wales.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to go and see that. No, I really would. I'd love to go and see the Slate District. And that's where all the slate came from, see?
It's quite pretty.
I know, it's really pretty.
I was a bit like, really? Is it up there with the Taj Mahal?
No, it's not, is the answer.
It's quite nice to look at.
No, I think it's higher than the Taj Mahal.
What is that, a really good restaurant?
Yeah, it is, yes, a restaurant in Swansea.
Is it delicious?
The Taj Mahal, isn't it?
It's decent, yeah?
It's decent. Oh, it's just good. It's just a good restaurant, though, isn't it? I like the chicken and chips, isn't it? Okay, so they've literally slated this campaign
right.
by the World Heritage mob.
Yeah.
They don't want it. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it'll deepen the problem of uncontrolled over-tourism, innit?
Oh, really? They want to stop the visitors?
They want to stop it.
Okay, right.
Because now it's on the UNESCO list, people will be wanting to tick it off.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Kilchilath, a pressure group, said, we are effectively becoming a playground.
What, they... They're putting swings up.
People have fun. I don't want people having fun here, see? This is like, it's well, isn't it? They called for a debate on the country's relationship with the tourism industry. What I love about that, yeah, and it is like that bit in Apocalypse Now, when Brando observes after that scene with the inoculated arms.
Right.
And he thought, you know, the strength just to say no, you know? Mm. And it's like in Nam with the Americans, and it's like the Welsh with the UN and the Heritage Brigade.
That's the same
no, it's like
back.
Just they've Very got the similar. Strength. They've got the strength to say
Stand up.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a case of like a, you know, inoculated, what they did in Nam that Brando talks about. But when you're up against that strength, of, well, you're never going to win. You can't beat the Welsh. You can't do it. So withdraw the status.
Yeah.
And what they should do, because what they really want there, they're worried about, you know, affordable housing, stuff like that.
Right.
What they should do in that bit of Wales, bungalow the lot. Put those really no, they should every hillside
bungalow.
just bungalow it
with the those whole lot.
With those bungalows that are sort of that grey colour,
yes,
with that pebble dash on that's impossible to get rid of,
yep.
And it's also even in the wallpaper inside, it's got the sort of pebble wallpaper.
Yeah. It lasts centuries, that stuff.
Last year, more than that,
sure,
millennia.
Yeah,
and just lots of people there with shopping trolleys.
Yeah.
Just coming in and out of houses where it's drizzling.
You can't mess with that.
Yeah, so tourists come there and they just don't want to know.
An art installation.
Yeah. It's like an art installation just going on for miles.
Mm.
Just pensioners with like plastic headscarves going to the local spa or mace to go and get, you know, tinned food, tinned pies, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the news from across the coal curtain.
X. Radio. X. Johnny. Vaughan.
I grew my hair during lockdown. Turns out when I've got long hair, I didn't suspect this because I've got sort of like a grey lower beard, which made me instantly think. I noticed I was thinking of shaving a bit of my beard the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Just the grey bits.
Oh, right.
And I realised that would conform exactly to that Victorian thing where they just kept the burners.
Mutton chops.
And then swirled over into sort of moustache. I think it's called a drum cree or a drum roman or somewhere.
It's and a then, flashman, isn't it?
And then
it's
shaved almost, right down the neck. I said, that's the reason they had weird facial hair like that.
Get rid of the grey ones.
Just getting rid of the grey bits, right. Yeah.
Scott, as it looking happened. At it now, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, look at it now.
I know.
Look
at it.
Yeah.
It's proper mutton chops
Front
with a
look at it. Look at me.
Please do it. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, definitely do it. Yeah.
Do you know
and then grow them really big.
Yeah. What, and have you two laugh tomorrow for the Pet Town quiz?
Please.
Well, I don't think so, baby.
A gentleman should have large whiskers.
83936. Should I do a stupid beard style? I don't think so. Anyway, because I've got this jet black hair, raven hair, my partner Vanessa has taken to playing in an effort to mock my noir locks. Which are darker now than when I was a youth.
Yeah.
And I used to like, I suppose a young...
Young Johnny Vaughan.
A young James Brown with my hair. No, I had a very similar hair to James Brown.
You did. I can vouch for that.
It was imagine.
Exactly the same.
Anyway.
Johnny had a natural pompadour.
Anyway, it is her mock anthem. You then started sending yours, which led us to a brand new feature. Wow, man, did you hear?
You sounded just like Steve Lambert.
Just like Danny Lambert.
Yeah,
Fat
Danny Lambert.
Al Lambert. Yeah.
No, it's Daniel Lambert. It's the famous British fat man.
That's right, yeah, with the big
Stanford trousers.
Yeah,
but 80 stone. Yeah. I'd love it if Queen got him to front it. But they wouldn't do because he died 250 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
Be unlikely, wouldn't it? That'd be quite an act, though.
Yeah.
If they could do that, I suppose they could bring back Freddie. Right. Bit tasteless, but let's press on. We've had Terence Lye, who gets sung... Terence Lye tells me... Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. We've had... Terry Lye, Terry sweet little lie. Terry Lye.
Terry Lye.
That's exactly right, Hunter. That's exactly right. Your face as you joined in. Suddenly, do you know what I saw? Old West End Wendy coming out to play.
Yeah.
I love that. The Devon-based office worker, John Knight, who had... John Knight in Devon. And we've had the Howard Duble theme, which is, this is Howard Duble, this is Howard Duble. La, 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 la. It's Friday night. Sorry, I just like his vibrato. Johnson Templeton. It's really weird because Sunter's bit in the script. Mm. Gavin's just G.
That's right.
I'm JV. I don't know why. There is only one J here.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
And there's only one S here. But for some reason, but when I see Sunter, I think, who is the saint?
ST.
Yeah, ST. Tell us, saint.
This has come from Captain Tim.
R.
Okay, go on, R.
I was once a mentor for the young kids on the civil service fast stream. My professional front was shattered.
Fast stream? There isn't one at councils, I can tell you that. There's just the slow stream. Put him in the slow stream with all the customers. Go on.
My professional front was shattered when a young lad called Paul Sauvain joined the programme. Every time he introduced himself, the whole government department would joyfully sing... Paul Sauvain.
Paul
you probably
Sauvain.
Know this song is about you.
Paul Sauvain. You probably think... Sorry, I love that. Oh, God, I wish I worked with someone called Paul Sauvain. Go on, what you got there, Gav? Thank you, Sunter.
This one's from Helen. She says, not sure who he's mocking, but my husband has started to sing his own name while walking around the house.
Okay.
He sings, Michael, talking about... Michael,
talking about Michael. Boom, 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 boom. Right, I've got. Okay, Gav, get this. This is from Robert. This is a peach. I've listened to We Will Mock You for months, thinking I must know someone who's been mocked. I suddenly remembered it was me, Robert Linger. I used to get chorus with. Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to, Robert Linger? That's it. Fantastic. he's dubbed himself in. It's worth it. Thank you so much. I mean, did you have to, Robert Linger?
Oh, that's just brilliant. God.
Do you know what? I've got to confess to you. I was no fan of the Cranberries.
Right. Yes. Yes. Me neither, really, to be honest.
Since...
Zombies a smasher.
It's all right.
That's a that is true.
It's okay.
That's true. But Linger.
Linger.
It was something about Linger. They used to... Anyway, there we go.
Radio X.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, go on.
Firstly, I found out we're really annoying my neighbours who've had a baby at the same time as us and are actually good friends. You've met them at my barbecue.
Right, go on.
Robin as well. Mm. Well, the thing that really annoys them, and also the other couple, the Turkish couple, have had a baby as well.
Right.
Is they're talking about all their... About how strong their kid... I mean, about how they're talking about their kid's intelligence.
Right.
Fine.
Yeah.
And all I got about is this. You feel his grip there? You know how strong he is? Just...
He's hench for a boy's
size.
That's
all you size. Do. All you just saw is hench. He's really strong. Look at that. Feel that grip there. Now you lift his arm up like that. Look at that. That strength like that.
And they make a lovely fish.
No, he's learning how to see. Look at that. Look at the size of his hands. Look at that. All the time. Tell you what, the other day he was sitting up like that. His fists were going like that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
His fists were pumping away like that when his mum comes in. His fists pumping away like that.
I brought tears. I was
like
that.
I got him to grab both them fingers. I was going like that. The resistance on my hands. I was going like that. I was pulling my hands like that. The kid's like that. You see his little muscles going. He's going to be right strong. You're just like a little lion. Oh, and they're talking about how smart the kid is, the attention they've got, the sort of the focus, stuff like that. No, none of that. You watch this, yeah? Put your hand up like that. Move it fast. Look at that. Look at that reactions.
He'll block you.
He'll block you. Right, strong and all.
No, give him a proper dig.
You look at that.
Give him your best shot.
Also, say things like, he was having his dinner this morning.
Yeah.
When he's having his dinner, his morning dinner, he puts it back. He's having little cuts of steak.
Yeah, lovely.
Putting it back. Seriously. Like it's just a race to manhood.
He had his first pie.
We're going to miss out on childhood altogether.
Six months.
Get him in a van by the time he's four.
Get him earning.
Well, I told him, you've got a van, you can always earn. He loves watching anything about builders.
X. Radio. X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Do you know what? We've got a bit of excitement for you here.
What's that? What's
a real, genuine bit of excitement. What? Little Si. What's that over there? Is... Oh, we got an alligator. We got a shark. We got a pin in the face. I'm feeling alligator sharks and chicken raining down the waves. Okay, what do we want? Alligator, shark or chicken? Shark. This is the bit, just to say, this bit where we let a bit of a crowd in from outside. I don't know I'm getting, it's the same faces throughout there.
Do the chicken first this time, will you?
Just settle down, please, sir. What do you say, madam?
Do chicken.
Two of you?
Do chicken
first. Okay, I'll do the chicken.
First.
I will do the chicken first, all right? Just back off a little bit.
Okay, cheers.
Right, chicken.
Alligator.
No, it's not going to be alligator now. We let the Scots guy in.
He just loves alligators.
Okay, Brightling Sea family's lively cockerel, I'm afraid, of spark noise complaints. A family of chicken lovers fear their handsome countryside cockerel and may have to be rehomed after complaints were made about his enthusiastic crowing. Mm. Annabelle Much... Seems like a touch too much. Sorry. 23. Lives in a rural part of Brightling Sea with her fiancé Joe Dines, 23, and their one-year-old daughter. Last year, they decided to hatch their own chickens. They wanted their daughter to grow up around their feathered friends, yeah?
Yeah.
Just as they had done when they were young. The two of them grew up around chickens. The family instantly became attached to a French blue copper Moran. That's a type of chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a type of film.
Yeah.
Due to its upbeat personality and affectionate nature. Annabelle, who called him Blue, said he'd fall asleep on us and snuggle in and give us cuddles, which he still does to this day. The family's joy, though, has turned to sadness and uncertainty following a noise complaint.
Wow.
Annabelle has now launched a petition with the hope of changing the law. In the UK, a crowing cockerel is recognised as a noise nuisance. I know, it's unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen,
see, I told you, Chicken's story was good.
We got an alligator. We got a shark.
Alligator.
Just heard about a chicken in the place. Alligator sharks and chickens lighting up your daytime workspace. What do you want, guys?
Alligator.
Shark, you want a shark?
Shark. Come on.
Shark.
Alligator, surely.
Shark.
Well, you might have to wait your turn, sir. Just wait.
Okay.
There'll be time for all of them. Anything else?
Shark. Scotty B. Scotty B.
Shark.
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 What'd you say?
Shark.
Do the chicken again.
No, I'm not doing the chicken again, sir. It's going to be an alligator or a shark. What's it going to be?
Shark. Shark.
Well, there's sharks. Here we go.
Go on. Yeah.
But please,
yeah,
just back off a little bit.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time. Two huge sharks swam amongst beachgoers off the coast of Ireland.
Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah, what appeared to be an adult basking shark and an infant due to the size of their fins. Mm. That's fins, not the fins.
Right.
Like their fins, you get me? They were filmed swimming in the shallow waters of Keane Bay on County Mayo's Achill Island, or Achill Island. Mm. Despite the species being absolutely harmless, onlookers fear they could have been dangerous, with a child heard shouting, "Oh my God!" That child shouted that. Alan O'Neill wrote, "It's like a scene from Jaws."
Yeah.
As he shared the clip on social media. Basking sharks, which often reach 26 foot.
They're massive,
in adulthood,
yeah.
They're enormous. A second only to the whale shark in terms of size. But actually, don't fret it, guys. They feed on microscopic chicken. Plankton.
What?
Chicken?
Sorry. You got me thinking about it. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen. We got an alligator. We've had that shark. Enjoyed that chicken sitting on your lap. Alligators, sharks and chickens brighten up the dark. What are we going to have, guys?
Only one to go, John.
There is. And what is that one to go?
Alligator, come on.
Alligator, right.
Scotty B.
Chicken.
It's not going to be chicken, so we've had chicken already.
We've had the chicken, shut up.
Shach, shach.
It's a good story, though. That's why I live with it.
Shach. What about shark?
It's not going to be shark again, sir, is it? Think
for
about
God's
it.
For God's sake, alligator.
Okay, it's going to be alligator. It's all right, Alan.
It's right enough.
An ex-marine in Pennsylvania has an emotional support alligator. I can't believe it either.
Oh, come on.
Joy Henney from Pennsylvania, United States. He's got a 5 foot, 60-pound, federally licensed emotional support alligator.
So he gets to take it on planes.
I don't know about that. You're going to love the name.
That's the
rules. I mean, alligators on a plane.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
That's a film.
There's an idea in it.
Yeah. The problem with that
really
is that they did, as they took off, they didn't know the snakes were on board.
Yeah.
Because I think you'd be aware if there was an...
Alligators on planes.
Alligator. Alligator on a plane. Maybe alligators on a train.
Oh, yes.
There we go. That's a
that's more like
they get
it,
out
yeah.
the baggage.
Yeah,
the baggage
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
yeah, right. The 65-year-old, that's the guy, not the alligator. Mm. His house boasts a variety of reptiles. He's got bearded dragons to ball pythons. The one that steals the show is 4-year-old Wally, who has a special place in Joy's heart. Mm. Joy insists the animal is super friendly, loves giving hugs and kisses.
What?
Wally's...
What?
Wally's diet includes chicken wings.
Hugs.
Chicken.
They've only got little arms.
And he shares an indoor plastic pond with a small rescue alligator named Scrappy. Ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
We've had an alligator.
Yes, we did.
Enjoyed that shark. Come on. Okay. We love that chicken.
That chicken was really
in the place. Alligator, sharks,
hey.
And chickens brighten up. Your face. Okay, that's it. No.
This is Radio X.
Johnny Vaughan.
What do you want? Drunk Olympians cause chaos on a flight, or struggling to get off a chair is a danger sign?
Ooh.
I love them both so much, but I want to hear about the Aussies on the plane.
Okay, Aussies on a plane, which someone's already suggested. In fact, it's Big Si. If we were to make a film of Aussies on a plane,
yeah.
It should be called...
Blokes on a Plane.
Yeah, Blokes on a Plane.
Nice.
Blokes on a plane.
Blokes.
That's right, yeah.
I was once in Thailand, yeah, and there was an Australian talking about how great Australia was.
Yeah.
And he was just going, Australia, mate, Australia, it's the best, mate. You're not going to get better than that. He pulled out some photographs.
Yeah.
He was on a beach in Thailand. He goes, sorry, no, it was in our lodgings in Thailand.
Yeah,
because we're actually in the evening. So he's pulled them out. He's gone, I mean, look at that, mate.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Right.
You know, he's gone, look at that. Australians, look at that.
Beautiful.
And there's a picture, and they were there, and there's a lovely waterfall.
Right.
And he was like, look, beautiful. I said, that's great. He goes, I know, mate. These were taken in Thailand.
What?
I said,
about the people in it?
Yeah.
Talking about the people?
Just talking about, he said, Australia's the best, mate. I mean, look at that.
And he was showing you Thailand.
Yeah, and he says, I mean, these were taken in Thailand. But look at the Aussies just having a laugh. And I was thinking, is that what you want me to do? Just look at pictures of Australians and still say that Australia's so bloody great.
So proud.
I know, they really are. But you know what they're proud of?
What?
Is because they've got the thing that we haven't quite.
What?
They've just got a lovely cliche, stereotype they can relax into, but get offended if you say it.
Right.
So when they're together, they can then, like Australian mates of mine, they have a barbecue.
Yeah.
And a few drinks, and they're like, yeah, mate, fuck, let's have a barbecue and a couple of tinnies.
Yeah.
But if you go, you guys can have a barbecue and a couple of tinnies, they go, nah.
No.
Where'd you get that idea?
No, we're much more, mate. I'm working in the city, mate.
You taking the mic?
Yeah, right.
Right.
And you sort of thinking, well, which way are we going here? Anyway, because I've seen every single beer advert ever for your, okay, get this, guys. Australia, this is something that reinforces stereotype quite nicely for you, but, you know, in a gentle way.
Go on.
And a way we can all laugh. As the nations laugh together.
Sure.
I think I got through that. Australian Olympians are being investigated, which sounds like gods.
Yes,
it
Olympians.
Does, yes.
Yeah, the mountain of the Olympians. We are. I am the god Lagos. Australian Olympians are being investigated after complaints that they caused chaos on a flight home from Japan with excessively drunk behaviour. They were being sick.
Oh, really?
And they also raided the plane's stocks of alcohol, and he said, "Planet." what gets me is if you got Olympians on a plane.
Yeah, what kind of Olympians were they?
Well, we were kicking this around before the show, and we felt in the end that your best way to get to the drinks trolley, if you've got gymnasts,
right? Yes,
and then you operate the gymnast, maybe literally getting past the. I was going to say the guards,
right? Well, you could get one of them into one of the trolleys, like in Ocean's 11.
Yeah,
and he can
or just
sneak in there,
flip flacking down
through the thing.
And then I guess the relay team go back up the other aisle.
Form a chain,
mate, and they're just passing it along the block of baton, but with miniatures.
We've won gold. We want a bit more liquid gold here.
Yeah, right, mate.
We deserve it.
Yeah. Or just one of them just all hiding in the overhead lockers. You know, it's like climbers. Those climber guys that just got, so they're just all going along the top. Anyway, here's what happened, guys.
Go on.
Japan Airlines sent a written complaint to the Australian Olympic Committee after obnoxious and unsafe behaviour on the 10-hour flight. God, you always think
10 hours.
You sort of think Japan, that's pretty close to Australia. It's the same side of the place. No. No.
It's miles off.
However far you think it's further.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only like 14-hour flight from here.
Right.
And I thought Japan was just like round the corner. I thought it was like local.
No.
Anyway, this is the country's rugby and football teams. The Aussie rugby and football team. So that's always going to be trouble.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Back of the net. passengers have told News Corp Australia that men were loud singing, refusing to sit down when requested, and they're rowdy and obnoxious. And they weren't wearing face masks.
I bet it got a bit rowdy there, a bit lively.
Yeah. And one of them was near the lavatory, was said to be, quote, and this is in quote, wasted.
One of them.
Yeah, but that's a quote from the airline.
For one to be more noticeably wasted than the others.
No, but that's a quote. What I love about that is it's a quote. It just says here, about halfway through the flight, some of the players began being sick, and one was nearby a lavatory, and it said he was, and it's just in quotes, wasted. It's not attributed to anyone. It just says, in the middle of a sentence, wasted, which I don't know why.
Yeah, they've quoted it, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of...
trolley.
Another one they've had says, one passenger, also an Australian Olympian, said he was, quote, mortified. Well, the other one... So one was mortified and the other one was wasted.
Wow.
I don't know what I'd rather be. I'd rather be sitting there shocked at the behaviour of others, Gav, wouldn't
absolutely
you?
Absolutely disgusting behaviour, yeah.
Sitting there kind
of
slumped over a toilet.
Ashamed of themselves, yeah.
Wasted.
Yeah.
Mortified.
I need to take a long, hard
look. Jaggers, yeah.
X Radio. X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Why is everyone looking at me concerned?
I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You're looking at me concerned. I tell you why, because I've just had a really weird email. I mean, a weird email and text in. Yeah. Get this.
Go on.
Hey, TJ, I met your dad last night.
Mm. Ooh.
Whoa.
He's staying at our hotel in the Yorkshire Dales. Mm. I told him I was due to start my midwifery degree in September during our conversation, and he told me he delivered his son, and that son is you. What a bloke. Loves a lead mine, doesn't he? Oh, Christ. This is Geeks in Yorkshire. God, no, I mean, how does he get on these subjects? Because he just gets all chatty.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, of course. What I love about that is she's studying midwifery.
Yeah.
So it became about him.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I got
course,
there first, you know.
Of course. I didn't even need to go to university back then. Delivered my own son. Can I just say, he didn't, incidentally. My mum did it all by himself. She said he hid in the other room still watching England-Mexico in the World Cup that
right,
year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Middle of a game.
Yeah, she even had to do the, you know, the knot herself and everything.
Oh,
so he
God.
Didn't deliver at all right? My mum did it by herself.
He called through to the other room now and again.
No, he was so squeamish
check.
That he once locked a mouse in the fridge.
You're
joking. About him, listen. Yeah, so he's no hero.
Radio X.
Hey, guys, I've got news of something really extraordinary. This is London's, it's official, yeah? London's worst attraction.
Uh-huh.
And the weird thing was, I drove past it 2 days ago. Right. And I was just getting near Marble Arch, which is at the end of Park Lane and Oxford Street.
Uh-huh.
So you've got Oxford Street there, which is like a...
London's
it's
famous
like a
shopping
sort of,
street.
It's like Disneyland, for pickpockets.
Right, it is. It's a pickpocket's dream.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's the widest pavements in all of London.
It's a dipper's paradise.
Filled
and,
with
and they're
tourists,
really crowd yeah. and crowded and lots of people are in buses and stuff. Yeah. It's just it's perfect.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm there, you know that old thing, both my thumbs start to itch.
Yeah.
Seriously, I get that same thing. Honestly, I just want to get back.
Yeah. Check out what
like, seriously,
to,
I feel like one of Fagin's boys.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. No, I just think.
Dodger.
Yeah, I feel like Dodger. Yeah. It's Dodger. They're not really cheeky chappies up there. They've sort of lost that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not like, you know, sort of teen.
It's a different trade
it's a
different
trade
these days. It's a different union.
That's what I miss from Oxford Street.
What?
Is those sort of shops that are long firm, those guys, sorry, short firm, you know, where they're just selling job lots of things.
Right.
You got your light bulbs, you got your bin bags, you got your portable telly, you got your radio, you got your fly spray, you got your fly swat, you got your Lilo. Am I asking 50? Am I asking 40? I wouldn't even ask you 30. If I asked you 20, you'd say, go on, stroll on.
I'll take one.
Put your money away so you're genuine. Who's got £10 of what's on my mind?
I'll have two.
You'll have two over there. Bag them up, Ron. My brother Bertie, he's a burglar. I shouted to the driver last night. But not too loud. Now on your jolly way home, I tell you what, mapping to get caught in his web if you saw the prices of my... Sorry.
God.
I've even heard the guy do the... my brother's got a shop in Knightsbridge you might have seen. Harry Rod. Do you know him? And he gets a real giggle with that.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, mapping will get caught up in his web if you saw the prices I'm offering today. I wouldn't ask you 10, wouldn't ask you 9, wouldn't ask you 8, 7, 6, 5, 5, what's, who's got £2? What's on my mind? Put your money away so you're genuine. Anyway... And the guy's incidentally, the guy who's putting his money away.
Yeah.
He's talking to. He's part of the firm.
Of course, he's part of the act.
And all they wanted to do was get everyone further inside
that's
the
right,
shop.
I did it once.
I just ended up going. I paid £20.
Yeah.
And all I got was a sort of a game where you press this sort of plunger.
Yeah.
And a dolphin sort of jumped in a little water thing.
Useless, cheap, rubbish.
Yeah, you're right. That's all I got.
For
and
20 quid.
These guys were walking off with tellies. I was like, wow, it's all good. And they really make it look like I got loads of lots around the back.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty to come.
Really conned. I was really cheesed
and
off.
And then they put the tellies back and start again.
So that's Oxford Street.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing about it.
Yeah, and that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, that was the best thing about it. And then you got Park Lane, which a lot of people know from Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to Marble Arch, is also there as well. But I was driving up Park Lane, got to Marble Arch, and they've built a mountain on it.
What?
Well, you call it a mountain.
All right, then a large hill.
It's a...
Hillock.
It's a hillock.
No, it's high, though. Although, you're sort of thinking... So they built this big mound on Marble Arch.
Mound.
Up to the arch? Is the arch part
of
the hill?
No, it's part of the arch. It's on the same round. So it's like a roundabout.
Yeah.
And they've built like a cartoon mountain on it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is that it?
Just a hill?
The plan was you could walk up it and see the view from the top.
Okay, right.
Yeah, but
and
what's
then,
weird
then,
is...
Then what?
And then walk down it again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you walk down it. It's a hill you can walk up now.
Is it,
can't
is,
sit on it.
Are there
or,
any
like,
amenities up there?
People come... But what's depressing is people from the country to get away... Come from the country to get away from them.
I know.
You know, you don't go to London. I'm going to do a bit of hill walking. I got... what's weird is there's all the buildings round Marble Arch look down on it.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they dwarf it.
You sort of think, get a view from a sixth floor window.
Yeah. You can get a view from the top of Marble Arch. You can go up Marble
Arch. You can, yeah.
It's higher than Marble Arch.
Is it?
Yes.
Right.
Marble Arch used to be the entranceway to Buckingham Palace.
Right.
But they moved it when Queen Victoria was crowned because the royal coach wouldn't fit through it.
Oh, it was too big.
Yes,
really?
They had to move it. They shifted the whole lot of Marble Arch.
They moved the whole arch.
Oh, no. Sorry. Is that you? No, yes, it's Marble Arch. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, get this. So the £2 million artificial hill, which boasts of its views over Hyde Park and Oxford Street, was intended to attract visitors back to the West End, but it's been labelled the worst attraction in London. That's not true. Yeah?
Right.
The Harriman's Museum in South London is miles worse.
What's is it?
There's also a museum, the Wandsworth Museum's terrible, and also that the Clink, that prison museum.
Oh, I love the Clink!
It's just all...
It's full of old torture devices.
No, they're all new. They've all been made.
Oh,
they've been remade.
Yes, they've been redone.
It's not like the tower.
No, that's that's a crummy attraction.
Because the tower is genuinely eerie.
Yeah, it is. Yes. 83936, though. What's your area's worst attraction? I'm just anxious to know. Gab, what you got?
Grimsby Fishing Heritage Centre. On a school trip, we got to pick different characters like Captain or Ship's Cat, says Alison.
Yeah, it sounds
awful.
Let's crack through these because they're all awful stunts.
No name on this, but it suggests Blobbyland in Morecambe was dire.
Yeah, I would
add that it was even more dire after it was shut down and left to disintegrate.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't mind going to see that.
Now,
especially if it became like a blobby ghetto.
Yes, really.
With like, sort of like Detroit.
Yeah.
With like sort of badass sort of former Noahites. Okay, read the next one, Stones, because it's a beauty. Kevin Dagenham's.
Yeah.
Kev says, was it the Jorvik Centre?
Yep.
In York. The website looks amazing. It boasts a glass floor with ruins and a burial ground below it, etc. It's basically, though, a small window in the floor with a chicken bone below it. It also talks of a full village, which looks and even smells like it was at the time. Oh, no. This turns out to be what can only be described as a children's ride, think ghost train, with poor animatronic-style figures jerking about and a smell that is indescribable.
Thanks, Kevin Dagenham. What I always like at any museum, I like a shoemaker
who
just goes with the hammer
and back and forth,
and the arm moves in time with the eyes, and it just goes. And do you know where I suddenly realised where? This is part of what I call Britain's anorak culture, because that's what you used to wear on summer holidays.
Yes.
And it all relies on the fact that it will rain,
right?
And all these places, once global warming comes, one of the things that will happily disappear is these.
Because you have to escape the rain.
Yes, it's just, well, it was raining, so he had to go. Exactly right. It's the only reason they exist. Worst attraction in Birmingham, the Bear Grylls experience. It's shocking, says Jackie Brum. Do not go to the Bear Grylls experience. Thank you for that one. Also, the Peterborough Museum apparently features a room in a hospital, cracked, faded mannequin nurses with 60s costumes, and another old actual surgery gear.
Oh, man.
I swear the temp dropped when I wandered in that room one dreary Tuesday morning in the half term for a day out with the kids. Very eerie. Mm-hmm. Gab, what do you got?
Alex in Highley says Wheelie Castle in Birmingham is literally an old brick wall that's as high as my shin. Don't bother going.
Yeah, I tell you something. When you visit the oldest village in Europe, which is in Crete.
Oh, yeah.
Which took an hour to drive. I left the family. Although I did get away from the family for
an
a bit.
An hour's drive.
An hour's drive in the baking sun. And,
yeah.
And it really hot and bad drive. And eventually you get there. And it's just literally one brick high as you go around.
Wow.
And again, well, the thing they love to focus on is, but you can see clearly a hearth where the hearth was.
Yeah. Time Team could get 6 weeks of television.
Oh, more than that, Gavin. No, they use CGI, right? Okay, what you got there, Dr. Suntz?
And no name on this, but it says, I live in Sutton in Ashfield and we boast the biggest sundial in Europe.
Where
it's
is it?
Just outside of Ladbrokes.
There we go.
In Ashfield.
I'd love to see people out there waiting for the 4:20 at Haydock. Mm. Waiting for the sun to move to the right place. Here we go. Paul in Sittingbourne. Thanks for this, Paul. For crummy attraction, come take a ride on the Sittingbourne and Kemsley Light Railway. 2 miles on a rickety old train that passes sites like Asda, the refuse tip, the sewage works, and it finishes with views of a paper mill.
Wow.
Fun. What you got there, Gav?
We once stopped at a B&B in Scarborough that boasted its own toy museum attached. We thought the kids would like that. No. It was essentially a room with shelves of the owner's stuff he'd never thrown away.
Nice.
Including one display labelled McDonald's Collectibles.
Wow.
Nice.
My favourite part was one bloke pointing to a particular toy and telling his kids, Me and our kid had one of them. It was crap. Not impressed. That's Andrew in Derbyshire.
Derby. Next up, Sunce, what you got?
Ben says the Hovercraft Museum, Leo on the Solent.
Okay, nice. Anything else? Go on, you do the next few, Sunce, because they're good one-liners.
David Darnell, who of course is in the States, has
Dave Darnell.
One word, Carhenge.
Oh, yes, I've heard of Carhenge.
That's been in movies.
What's next place, up? Yeah. Go on, more, Sunce, more.
Tom says the Gas Museum in Leicester isn't quite the thrill you'd think.
The Gas Museum?
The Gas Museum.
I've been to Britain's oldest traffic light. I think that's Wolverhampton. I've got to tell you, it's a
And we've had quite a
few.
That's
what it looks like.
We've had quite a few in for the Pencil Museum in Keswick as well.
And Gnome World as well. Mm. The Lawnmower Museum in Southwark, cracking day out, great for pre-drinks. an unparalleled mowing experience. Pre-drinks.
Wow. Pre-drinks, the lawnmower.
How about that?
It really sets your mindset.
Here's
up.
One for you. Cuckoo Land in Knutsford.
Yeah.
Ornithologists and twitchers will be very disappointed at their wasted time as this place is just full of old clocks. There we go. That's Will in Middlewich. Thanks for that. Thank you so much to all of you texting in.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every single Friday. And if you want to get in touch, please email me, johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thanks. Radio X.